I'm going to break 1,000 Twitter followers tonight. I think probably just in the next hour, people signing up at Deacon Punnett. Always nice to keep in touch with you or at the Facebook page, although I've not posted as much in the last week or so. Had a lot going on. But one of those is that we had all these shows coming up on Coast to Coast to be filling in for George a bit, and I had a lot of books to read. I still do. When Gadgets Betray Us, that's tomorrow night on Coast to Coast, and back with more of your open lines next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Ponet. Let's get through as many as we can. Open line calls. Lots of people hanging on for a while. East of the Rockies, Gary is in Miami, Florida, where I was at the beginning of the summer. You got a cool city, Gary.
Thanks, man, for taking my call.
I really like Miami. It's beautiful.
Great. Listen, I want to get your take on something here.
Sure.
And hey, hi, Coast to Coasters. here's the take. God created Adam. From Adam, he took his rib and created Eve.
Okay.
At face value, you take that, that means that Eve would have had the same blood and the same DNA as Adam, making them a brother and sister.
Okay.
Then bring in to, by the time they would have had generations, say up to three or four generations, from them,
yep.
It would all look like probably the Grays. So to break up that monopoly, you would have to have had some kind of extraterrestrial DNA put into the system.
First of all, it's an interesting argument you're making that we start off in some sort of incestuous relationship where we're just getting progressively dumber. And then from there we bring in a little extraterrestrial DNA to kind of to freshen the gene pool is what you're saying.
Right. That's the only way it could have worked.
Well, there are other ways it could have worked, but that's one way I suppose it could work. An interesting thought. All right, fair enough. Well, let's see. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry, I put you on hold there for a second. Go ahead.
Get somebody else's take on this one.
Okay, we'll see.
Face value, man. It don't cut it.
No, but you know what? Let's see whether or not there's anybody else that'll jump in on that on Coast to Coast. Mike is in Kaysville, Utah. Go ahead, Mike.
You got it. Hey, thanks for helping me stay awake tonight.
What do you got going on?
I'm working.
What do you do?
Well, own a business here in Utah. And that's why listening to your conversation about taxes really got my ear.
Okay.
Basically, politicians keep saying they're doing something when they're actually not. Because
yes.
I'm not rich. Like,
right.
Newsflash. But when they're proposing these tax the wealthy, tax the rich, when I'm trying to grow a business, I'm getting hammered with taxes. But they're actually not taxing the rich. If they just have their money in the stock markets, hedge funds, all this stuff. If they don't pull it out, they don't pay taxes.
Yes.
Not taxing the rich drives me nuts.
I agree.
Locking us into a class system.
And what's interesting is how when a politician, and this depends on which side of the fence they're on, but when the current governor of Minnesota was running, Mark Dayton, he was defining the rich as people who, as families of four, that were making $150,000 a year. So like a teacher and a policeman salary, and or a nurse and a policeman salary anyway, that suddenly they were being counted as the rich. I thought, wow, is that what it's come down to? That's the rich now?
Yeah. Well, and then the kicker is then they all cry and whine about the rich that really are just sitting on their money, kind of doing nothing with it. And it's like, can't we change this tax system so it incentivizes people to go out, kill something, drag it home, you know, do businesses, actually create jobs, create wealth versus just sit on it and reward them for sitting on it?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and I understand the interest in liquidity. Even the younger generation right now is not buying as many houses or condos because they want to stay as liquid as possible. I get uncertainty, but there's a certain point where there's like a cash incentive to be uncertain, where it's in your, you know, it's in your financial interest to keep being as uncertain as possible, because somehow the you keep benefiting from that financially. And I don't think that's a good incentive. So,
Mike, what does your business do? I'm going to solve America's problems right here. All right.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, I was like, if there was some sort of, if they really want to tax the rich, there needs to be some sort of a property tax. Go completely do away with income tax, because you're going to be taxed on it basically as you grow in your properties. Whether and just
and then how do you define properties?
Very small, everything.
Yeah,
I don't care if it's just when you're running a business and you're doing the taxes at year end, the amount of time you spend in there versus just putting together a portfolio and then just a flat, small, very, very small percentage at the bottom, you can do that a lot easier. And for instance, counties, states, you do property tax anyways. My business property tax, I have to itemize everything. I pay small percentages. It goes down as the asset depreciates.
Right.
And then, but you still pay a small percentage of tax on that.
Yeah. Well, real quickly, Mike, tell me, what does your business do? What do you do?
The best way to summarize us is anything to put two things together with a power tool. That's us.
Cool.
Anything from construction to manufacturing, we sell, service, all that stuff. We have 4 locations, 9 salesmen. But it's busy, but I'm here at 2 in the morning trying to get stuff done.
Well, I'm glad we're keeping you awake, and I appreciate you jumping in, and thanks for giving us the time and the lesson. That's good. George is in Fair Oaks, California, west of the Rockies on coast to coast. Open lines. George, where are you going to take us?
Yeah, Ian, hey.
Hey.
Nice show tonight.
Thank you.
It's awesome. I just wanted to mention that I used to live up in Happy Camp, California, and every year the Hoopa Indians, right?
Right.
They celebrate migration of Bigfoot.
Right.
Going across the mountains.
Isn't that funny?
And they swear by it.
Oh, no, I'm with you. I just think it's interesting that it's still an annual tradition for the migration, much like how we might, you know, be looking up and noticing the migration of Canada geese. They acknowledge the migration of Bigfoot.
Yeah, and it's their brothers, you know.
Sure.
Just like the bear. So they treat them with respect and everything, and they allow them to go through, and they don't bother with them. But they've all seen them. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be a really interesting,
you know,
I'd love an expedition someday to take.
Nobody's ever gone up there to film it or anything.
Oh, I'd be surprised if that's true.
Why? You know?
I'd be surprised. Been a while since we talked to Dr. Jeff Meldrum, I think it is, of Idaho State, and I think he's been everywhere there's been a sighting. He's been, except for he hadn't gone down to Florida. The last time I talked to him, he hadn't looked at the skunk ape down there.
But he's been up to Happy Camp.
I want to say in that area, because he's been his office at the university is just filled with plaster casts from everywhere. I'm afraid he'd get killed in like a collapse of plaster casts. So let's do a Bigfoot show again coming up sometime soon. Mary is in Madison, Wisconsin, open lines on coast to coast. Mary.
Hello, Ian.
Hey.
I just wanted to call in and tell everyone that global warming was solved 3.5 years ago.
How's
that? With a simple chemical put in the atmosphere to grab the high amounts of carbon dioxide. And there's a picture that people can Google, an image of George Bush and Al Gore laughing about it in the White House on November 27, 2007.
Okay.
And it's been kept quiet since then. And I think because it was so simple to solve. And I think we're kind of living in the wake of it now, where the world was kind of living like there was no tomorrow. And there is.
And what was the chemical that they put up there?
I don't want to say what the chemical is on the radio, but it was a simple chemical. Simply grabs the carbon dioxide and cools the earth.
Why would what's the fear of saying the name on the radio?
Because I spoke to George Norrie about this 5 months ago, and I didn't want to say it on the air, but I actually sent him a photocopy of the patent.
Yeah.
And because if too much of this was put in the atmosphere, it could put us in a very, very cold climate.
But how do you know? How do you know this? And how come we can't know it if you know it?
How come what now?
How come you know this, and how come we can't know it if you know it?
Well, again, it's just a simple chemical, and
I get that part. But I'm trying to make the connection here. What that simple chemical? If it's such a simple chemical, why can't you tell us what it is?
Oh gosh, ask George Norrie. He's got a photocopy of it.
All right. Well, I'll ask George, and I appreciate that. Jonathan is in Chattanooga, Tennessee, on Coast to Coast on a wild card line. Jonathan.
Hey, Ian. How's it going?
Hey, good. Open lines. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just had a question for you real quick. I read somewhere that that you're a minister. Is that correct currently?
I serve, yes, as ordained clergy. I'm a deacon. I'm the deacon of St. Clement's Episcopal Church, yes.
Oh, okay. Episcopal, yeah. That was one of my questions. I didn't know what your belief was in God. And what happens to us when we die?
What do you think happens to us when we die?
Well, I believe two things. If you've been saved, if you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, I believe that that's the way to heaven. John 14:6 plainly states that. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
I get it. But so what happens to all the other souls?
Okay, the ones that that haven't been saved, they've had a chance to hear the gospel, and they've rejected it, then God's made a place called hell.
And they all go to hell.
Well,
pretty simple. Pretty simple, then? Everybody that doesn't, that's not a Christian goes to hell.
Well, if you believe the Bible, and...
No, I don't think that's a cop-out answer for me, Jonathan, because the Bible's multivocal. And so I think that we can pick and choose. I mean, you know the old quote, the devil can quote scripture to his advantage. I think it's really easy to do that. And I think it's something that people like to do to triangulate to the Bible and go, well, I'm not saying you're going to hell. The Bible says that. I'm not saying that. And I think that's I think that's cowardly Christianity, frankly.
What about
and I think there's lots of ways of understanding it. So I would just be reluctant to always just blame the Bible when you want to condemn somebody to hell. And I think that there's something to be said for the fact that there are many mansions and we don't know exactly. If we knew exactly what God does all the time, then we would be God. If we could oversee God, if we could double check God, then we would be God. And I think we get to throw up our hands and say, God will put into heaven whoever God wants in heaven. And leave the rest, as Jesus told us, to not worry about who is and who isn't in or out. And I'll take Jesus's word for it. Rosie's in West Los Angeles, California, on Coast to Coast. Rosie?
Hi, Ian.
Hey.
Well, before I get to my topic, I want to say that's really neat that your announcer, Ross Mitchell, is doing all the promotions for different shows on XM 168. He's got
good.
A great voice.
Oh, he's the best. He's the best.
I like his voice. Well, anyway, I want to take you back to January. I was diagnosed with adenocarcinoma of the liver.
Oh, no.
And so anyway, you know, I'm going to be having a fourth stent placed pretty soon. But I've been taking chemotherapy, and I know I'm a little bit offended by George and his guests, medical guests, when they try to tell us to take, like especially telling Moondog, to take supplements and that chemotherapy is dangerous and poisonous. I mean, the only thing, I was wondering, what do you think about supplements? Because the only thing that I have as far as side effects so far is of chemo is just maybe once in a while, a numbness a little bit, like when
right.
I put, you know. But
well, chemotherapy by definition isn't, I mean, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I thought this was generally accepted, that chemotherapy is poison. I mean, we know that it's poison. We are intending it to be poison. We're just hoping that it will kill more of the bad than of the good. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay,
and
so it is poison.
Yeah. And everybody's body is different. So people have to remember that, you know? And so, you know, if I if George was a friend of mine and he tried to tell me to take supplements, I refuse to take supplements. I'm just
What kind of supplements is are you refusing to take? I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm not interested in any kind of holistic medicine.
Oh, really?
No,
I
I'm not.
Even medical science is interested in it. So if medical science is interested in it, why wouldn't you be interested in it?
Well, because, I mean, I, you know, I just don't like the idea that, you know, that we have to do everything, you know, heal ourselves or something. I mean, you know, chemotherapy or different kinds of things help, too. I mean, I just don't believe
that diet and exercise
is the answer for everything.
No, it's not. But I think you'll find, if you talk to your doctors, I bet you they'd tell you that, you know, every medicine started off as a holistic medicine. I mean, long before we had a pharmaceutical industry or a medical science system as elaborate as we have now, everything was based on watching people eat something, get better, eat something, get worse, right? And everything was being, we kind of all sort of, that's how, the only thing we had was to go by. And that's where a lot of holistic medicine comes from, is sort of that same origin. For example, I take fish oil every day. I take 2 capsules of fish oil. And, you know, part of that is they've proven that those omega-3 fatty acids, really good for you. Would you not take fish oil, Rosie?
Well, I've never tried it.
Oh, I mean, it's 2 capsules of fish oil every day. They don't, doesn't have a taste or anything, but it helped me lower my cholesterol. So if it helped me lower my cholesterol without taking a pharmaceutical, that's a good thing.
Yeah. At least you don't push it. Like, George is kind of pushy about it, you know.
Well,
other than that, you guys treat everybody with respect. And I really like that about this show.
Well, we try
to. If my cancer goes into remission without me doing any holistic medicine, I will call you or George.
Well, let me just say, I mean, and thank you so much for, I'm glad, I know your cancer is going to go into remission. I hope it is. But some of the people that I know who have had the most success with chemotherapy have done so because they took total and complete ownership of their health. They didn't leave it up to other people. And there were times when they did push back to their doctors and say, I don't think I'm comfortable with this. Let me try that. And maybe it's the empowerment. Maybe it's that sense of that they can be in charge. They were able to push through it. And I have every reason to think that you will, too. But there's nothing wrong, per se, with supplements at all. There's lots of terrific supplements out there. You could go a little crazy on supplements, I grant you that. But you know what I've been sort of surprised with lately? I don't know if anybody else has noticed this trend. My doctor's office, my GP, refers to vitamins as medicine. So they'll say, what medicines are you taking? Whenever I go and I say, oh, nothing. And they say, oh, you're not taking vitamin? You're not taking fish oil? Oh, well, yeah, I'm taking those. Well, that's medicine. So that's kind of the interesting twist on this for me, Rosie, is what I would have thought of as a supplement, those are now being called medicines by the medical establishment. And I read somewhere that that's a shift that represents the blurred line between what we think of as supplements and what we think of as medicines, that many more medicines actually are just supplements. Well, so that takes us to the bottom of the hour, which gives us only a half hour left of open lines. And we do try our best to be equal in the way in which we handle opinions. Of course, we are human, so there are times when we can all get upside down in the things we believe. Forgive us that. And grab a line while you can. Open Lines continues on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Ponet. So we'll get our last half hour here of open line calls. Coming up tomorrow night, it's When Gadgets Betray Us on Coast to Coast. I hope George Norrie is enjoying a lovely 3-day weekend. I was just sitting here thinking, I was looking at the clock, actually, in the calendar, and I was thinking, what day is it? And I thought, oh, I should check to see whether my new children's book is up at Amazon. So I went to Amazon.com. typed in the title of the new book. This is a book that I've been working on for a long time, but it's just out. You haven't heard me mention it because it's fun, but it Jacula the vampire dog. And this is in honor of my dog, Jack, who we often call Jacula. And Jacula the vampire dog is up at Amazon.com. And so I was just looking down. I just thought this was so funny. It says here, 5 are available new for $12.69. So you could buy it new for $12.69. And they have one used copy for $19.26. Let me recommend you don't buy the used copy. To pay $7 more to read it used. I don't know what that says about the person who read it. Maybe they were a really good reader, and in doing so, they somehow improved the book. But if you're going to buy one of the new ones, because they're cheaper. But they're up. I just happened to notice that. Jacula the Vampire Dog, it's out at Amazon.com. And soon to be, too, in the stores, but not yet. So let's get to your open line calls, and you take us up to the top of the hour. And what's been a great night of open line calls? Variety of topics and lots of interesting people. Let's see if it stays that way all through to the end on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. All right, let's get back to open lines, where we pick it up with Kevin, who's in Marshfield, Massachusetts, on open lines, where George Norrie's got the night off tonight. Kevin? Hey, Kevin? Still there?
Hang on. Hello?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good. Who else were you talking to?
My coworker. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I understand. What are you up doing at this hour, Kevin?
I am currently working.
At a what?
I am currently doing security, keeping the country safe one day at a time.
Good. Glad to hear that. Thank you. Where do you want to take us? Open lines.
I had originally planned to talk about something else, but I would like to get your intake on the legalization of marijuana and why it should be legal and what good it would do for the economy. In the United States.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I've long been of the opinion to legalize marijuana as I decriminalize. I'm pro-choice on, I'm a big believer in freedom. And so I believe that just like alcohol or like a lot of things, if you're going to smoke your life away, and that's fine in a free country, you should be able to do it. And most people who smoke pot that I know of smoke pretty responsibly, so... You know, I just don't see the big deal. Clear out the prisons, I say.
Yeah, because A, it would create jobs. People could sell it.
Yep.
On the street. B, it would you could decrease the tax deficit by taxing it and putting it back into the government's pockets. And C, it would bring down the crime rate, I think.
Preach into the choir.
See, yep. There you go. I mean, I think you guys can do a whole show on this subject.
Oh, we do from time to time, and I'm sure we'll do it again sometime. It's not hard to do a show on that. It's actually harder, I think, at this point for somebody to make an argument on why pot shouldn't be legalized. And yet politicians just don't have the courage to do it because nobody wants to be known as the pro-pot candidate. You know, as the expression goes, it takes Nixon to go to China. The politician has not come around yet. The leader has not been invented yet that would be able to take us into the legalization of marijuana at a national level. It's long overdue. Hines in the international line in Ontario on Coast to Coast. Hines?
Hi. I wanted to share an experience I had. I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard like a snarling in my drawer there. It was rattling, and I think it was an evil spirit or a demon. And
in your drawer? What kind of drawer?
It's like a bedroom suite. I have a dresser and a chest with a drawer and some open doors.
Why was it in a drawer, do you think?
I don't know. I think it was trying to scare me. Like, I heard a lot of noise, like rattling, like it was inside somewhere. And then I heard like a snarling too. But then I propped myself up on my left arm, and I pointed at that direction, and I started saying, "In the name of Jesus, be gone." I just kept saying that like 4 or 5 times, and then it stopped and it left. And I think it listened, it took off because I'm a born again Christian, and because I had made a spiritual connection. I got Jesus in me.
Sure.
And actually, it says in John 1:4, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So I believe it's because I had Jesus in me, and he in the world's the devil. So I believe it had to listen to me, and I had to take off.
Well, good. You won. Thanks, Hines. Vince is in Avon Lake, Ohio, on Coast to Coast, east of the Rockies. Vince?
Hey, Ian, I like your style. I want somehow to verify this story about the Chinese free trade zones in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be like this huge invasion of Chinese workers. They're supposed to be building factories as we speak. According to my friend who gets on the internet, and I don't have that, there are 257 of them now in the continental United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to confirm one outside of Toledo with local news, 69 acres. There's one outside of Boise, 60,000 acres. There's 600,000 acres, all owned by Chinese, I don't know, factories or whoever. And they're supposed to be building factories as we speak, and they have no plans on hiring a lot of American workers. They're going to be shipping in Chinese workers. And these zones are autonomous.
Right.
Which really upsets me. I don't want communist Chinese for neighbors.
Well,
is there any way to verify this? I've been trying to find anybody who will talk about it. I've called a couple reporters. Nobody wants to get into it.
Well,
like I'm a conspiracy nut.
Well, this is something which is being covered on WorldNet Daily. Jerome Corsi's column, I think, has hit this a couple of times.
Yeah, that's the
this
guy.
Year. Mm-hmm. So I haven't heard anything about it recently.
The whole thing astonishing that it's not getting on any kind of news show, not even yours.
Well, there's a possibility of two things then. Then if it's not getting on and it's not getting traction, then maybe it isn't turning out to be true. So that's one way to look at it.
Well, I've seen local news, but it never gets on a national. I've seen local announcement for the one in Toledo.
Okay, well, I'm just saying there's that possibility. And then the other possibility is that it isn't quite what it's been called, that there's an element of truth to it, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't fit the sensational description of it.
As far as I know, these zones are going to be independent, not applied to American rules, no pollution control, no nothing. And no green card needed, no nothing. I mean, this is just astounding. You're supposed to be thousands.
I just don't think that's true. And I think that's part. I think that's part of the problem here is that Vince, if I were going to say the initial part, very interesting, and I know verifiable about some investment, just like America does with multinationals in other countries, that would be happening here. But then we get into you don't need a green card. They can invade with as many people as they want, blah, blah, blah. That's where it starts to sound like, you know, like drinking the Kool-Aid stuff. So I'd have to look. I hadn't heard any of that part.
Well,
I'd heard about the, because I read WorldNet Daily, so I had seen Jerome Corsi on that, but not for a long time. I haven't even seen him comment on it in like.
Yesterday, my friend said that Obama was commenting on a Vietnamese free trade zone that's being set up.
Mm-hmm.
More communist.
Okay.
I just don't want communists for my neighbors, and I'd sure like to know if there was any way to verify something like this.
Well, I've been trying to tell you about that, so I'm not sure you're hearing me, and I think you're kind of filtering me out a little bit. So you keep saying any way to verify it. I think maybe part of the problem is you can't verify things that aren't true, and aspects of the story may be getting exaggerated, which is why you're trying to verify something that can't be verified. But you know what? I tell you what, just go back to, I haven't done it in a while, but if you go to WorldNet Daily, go to the search box, or Jerome Corsi, let's see what he's been writing about lately and see whether or not that's panning out. Wildcard line, Dutch is in Oregon on Coast to Coast. Open lines. Dutch?
Honored to speak with you.
Thank you.
I had a question. I want to tell you something I saw back in the late 70s, early 80s. My question is, yesterday I was looking on the internet, and of a NASA-enhanced photograph of Mars Haley Crater. Have you looked at that?
I have not. Tell me about it.
It's it shows what looks like intelligently designed, geographically features like you'd be looking down on the city of Chicago with squares, right, or you've been in an airplane, and the enhanced version is real clear. And so I believe it was Haley Crater. It was pretty interesting.
I'd like to take a look at that.
Yeah, so I saw it. They had a bunch of pictures on it on several different locations. Back in the late 70s and early 80s, I was working on a shrimp boat in the Gulf of Mexico, and I was what's called the rig man. And 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I was watching the wheel, driving the boat while the captain and the header slept. It was a real calm Gulf. And we were heading eastbound towards Florida off the coast of Mississippi, Alabama, in about 200 foot of water. I was getting a little tired, so I stepped out the left side, the port side, the American shore side of the wheelhouse. Both doors in the wheelhouse was open, and it was a real calm Gulf. It was a full moon, and the moon was at like the, I'd say, 7 o'clock position, with it shimmering across the water back up to the 1 o'clock position.
All right.
I got up to the rail of the boat, and I looked out. And to the right, at about the 11 o'clock position, at about 6 miles out, under the water was this light coming, and it was coming. I can't describe. I've been to Indy and Daytona. Then that snail pace as fast as this light was coming under the water. I saw it about 5 miles out, and within 2 seconds, it was almost right under the bow of the boat. It shot past me. By the time I took the 2 steps to get around the wheelhouse to look on the other side of the boat, it was heading into the deep water of the Gulf of Mexico. It was already halfway to the horizon. And then it was gone.
Did it stay under the horizon, under the water the whole time?
Under the water the whole time. Didn't leave a wake. It was so close to the bow of the boat, it wasn't less. The light itself was less than 50 feet in front of me. It was probably 20 feet, not right, almost to the surface of the water. It was. I can't describe the speed of it. It was just incredibly fast. The light itself seemed to be about 4 foot in diameter. It was a greenish, whitish, greenish, weird, a little tiny yellow light. It just moved. I mean, and I was stone cold sober, didn't smoke no pot.
Right.
I was working on a boat, watching the wheels. It was definitely something out of this world.
Well, that's very interesting. And yes, I think this is why many people have been looking at this story of this disc that's up in the fjords on the ocean bottom, this perfectly spherical shape that has popped up on some of those scans. Maybe you saw the news story, but that would be in the same department as the an underwater UFO, as it were, and we'll keep an eye on that one. Thanks for your story, too. Bennett's in Carmichael, California, on Coast to Coast. Bennett?
Well, hi, Ian. And by the way, thank you so much in the Coast audience for the prayer help that you gave us for my little dog who got out the gate and who was struck by a car, and she's fine.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you for checking back in again then. And where are you going to take us tonight?
Okay, I'm going to ask you some questions about reincarnation.
Sure.
Do you believe in this by any chance?
Well, there's two types of reincarnation. There's the unlimited reincarnation, in which any life form can come back as any other animate, life form. And then there's limited reincarnation, which would be, species to species. So a dog would come back as a dog, or human beings would come back only as human beings. So which kind of reincarnation are you talking about?
Okay, this would be, with respect to human beings, more or less a limited type reincarnation. Do you think it's mandatory and we're forced to do this, perhaps against our will?
That's forced. I've never heard the idea of forced against our will. I mean, I've seen there's an ancient Christian argument for reincarnation. There is obviously a more sort of woo-woo kind of reincarnation discussion that goes on. I will tell you that I had 2 kids, and one of my kids, I felt, we said it from the beginning, he had a very old soul. And from the day he was born on this planet, he just felt like he'd been here before, acts like he's been here before. And our other kid came out and has to, you know, touch, taste, push, pull every single thing on the planet because it's new to him. So stuff like that makes me feel more like I believe in reincarnation than anything else. The idea of being forced to go back and do it again, I don't know. It depends what you mean by forced.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, you know, there are any number of very high visibility people who don't believe that we are forced. You know, for example, Dr. Michael Newton, PhD psychologist, who has done thousands of past life hypnotic regression therapy healing sessions, who has written several different books on the subject. He's come to the conclusion, and as a matter of fact, quote, if you don't want to reincarnate, you don't have to. And that's echoed by, people like Neil Donald Walsh, Dr. Hans King, and Dr. Hans Holzer, and even people like James Van Praagh and Sylvia Brown.
Well, there's a few of those names in there I don't respect as much as the other ones, but I will tell you that I think that sounds like a very solid argument. I wish I could give you any sort of empirical evidence about that one way or another, but thanks for the call. And let me try and squeeze in a couple other people that have been hanging on for a while, like Brandon in Omaha on Coast to Coast Open Lines. Brandon?
Hey, Ian. How you doing?
Doing all right. We got a minute for you.
Cool. Sorry, got off speaker there. Hey, okay. I take fish oil too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been listening to the show for, gosh, some 10 years or so. I haven't heard you before, forgive me. But I've been listening to the show tonight and got really excited. I have a couple things to say. Kevin, with the legalization of weed, I think, good thing. Dutch said, you know, the boat Dutch.
Right.
He didn't spoke that night, but I have a feeling he does on occasion. So we'll leave that at that. But what really got me was when you were talking a little while ago, and it took me a long time to get in, about politics. What I really wanted to know is what you thought about Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota.
Yeah, she's a neighbor. I think she's often dismissed by people who think of her as kind of a crazy. There's a lot of people in the Republican Party here who gnash their teeth at her because she takes up a lot of the oxygen away from other candidates. I personally think she says a lot of things which don't hold up to much scrutiny. But I also think that she's somebody who is here to stay. And I think she could end up being a very serious contender. What about you?
Good answer. Well, I'm not sure. I just don't know her well enough yet. But
I heard something recently, Brandon, I'll have to leave it here. Is that I heard that she had migraines and that she took a lot of meds for migraines. The medications that keep it away, keep it at bay, and the ones you take after it. And I wonder whether those migraine meds have anything to do with some of the things she said, which later on seem kind of unfocused or inaccurate. I wonder whether that, but I have to leave that out there and hang it out till another time. Maybe we'll do a couple open line calls tomorrow night. I don't know if we'll have time for it. Got a lot going on. When Gadgets Attack, coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast. Thank you, George, for letting me sit in. Thank you, Dan. Mixmaster Dan Galanti for such a good job on the music. Deus te amat, and I do too.